If you're like me, you probably have a closet full of local band merch. And whether you know it or not, a lot of that band merch was probably made by Divine Shirt Company right here in Winnipeg. Divine Shirt Company has made all of the Great Witch Police merch, from our hoodies to our toques to our t-shirts. And if you're looking to get anything done, like screen printing, embroidery, graphic design, digital printing, go to see Divine Shirt Company at divineshirtcompany.ca and tell them Witch Police Radio sent you.
One of our colleagues, Sam Thompson, who, if you saw him, you'd sort of right away assume he was a hippie.
Witch Police Radio. Witch Police Radio. Oh, no, no, no.
Witch Police Radio.
You are listening to Witch Police Radio. My name is Greg Soden, and I will be your guest host on this episode. Thank you to Sam Thompson for his invitation to host this episode, as well as for his tireless effort on this podcast over the years to bring the amazingness of Winnipeg's music and art to the world. On this episode, I am bringing you a conversation with Dylan James. Dylan is the drummer for the band Clipwing, who is finishing up recording of a brand new LP. And he is also the lead singer of the band Storyteller, who released their self-titled EP in April of 2024. If you've never heard Clipwing, they sound like this. And if you've never heard the band Storyteller, they sound like this.
Four changes. Thinking back on the things I've said. Things could be all the promises that I thought I kept. Things will get in the meantime. In the meantime, I won't think of how I got here.
It was such a delight to catch up with my friend Dylan and chat about his variety of wonderful projects. Please enjoy our conversation. You are listening to Witch Police Radio, and this is your guest host, Greg Soden, usually of Unscripted Moments, a podcast about propaganda, filling in for Sam Thompson tonight. So thank you to Sam for the invitation. I am here with Clipwing drummer Dylan James. Dylan, thank you so much for joining me on Witch Police Radio. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Thanks, buddy. Happy to be here.
So, Dylan, tell me your story a little bit about joining Clipwing. I know that you joined in about 2020-ish. Tell me a little bit of your backstory of the band. Just kind of give us a little overview of your story with the band.
So, it was about 2020 when I officially joined the band. I filled in a few guest spots as Clipwing's drummer, just as they had a few shows and they're in between drummers at the time, and they kind of hit me up. I think I played maybe three or four shows as just like a fill-in drummer with them, and I've been familiar with their tunes for a long time, and they've been buddies of mine for years. So I was happy to help them out with a few shows, and a couple of the shows were kind of special events, because one of them was there was a band called Union Stockyards, and they had their last show with Tony. Tony was their singer, and Tony was leaving the band. So they wanted to have Clipwing play, because I believe Clipwing played their first show. So like that was like a special show. They're like, hey, we got to play this show. We really want to make it happen. So they called me up and I played it. And then after the few shows, we kind of just like sat down and they're like, do you want to just like be a permanent drummer kind of thing? And at that time, I wasn't drumming in another band, and I was, you know, I was missing playing drums, and you know, drums is my favorite instrument, and it was nice for them to offer me the spot. And so around 2020, I joined Clipwing and made it official. And I feel like my first show officially with Clipwing was March 13th, 2020. And just a few days later, we all went home.
Yeah, I was at a show in Buffalo, I think, that exact same day. I think I was seeing Silent Planets and Current that night, or Currents and Silent Planet in Buffalo that night. So what a crazy time to think back of, like, being at a show when everybody's like looking at each other, like, do they, you know what I mean? Like, you're all like eyeballing each other across the room, wondering if you're gonna get sick a couple days later. It's a crazy time. But yeah, so Union Stockyards as well. Ryan Nash's old band, correct?
Correct. Yeah.
Love it.
Great band. Oh my God. They're so good.
Yeah. Well, I'm a friend of Ryan, and I'm really glad to hear his band get name dropped there, because I love what he does in Agassi these days as well. So Clipwing has several releases, which I'm sure that people of this podcast will know, since this is such a Winnipeg-centric show, but we got some singles like Iowa and What I'm With Isn't It. And then there's Ashford, Dirty Lights and Wet Streets. Great releases. What are some of your favorite Clipwing material? You know, as somebody who joined the band, like after like the bulk of their material was already released, like what do you love from the band?
You know, I just before I even joined the band, like Clipwing was my, you know, probably my favorite local band at the time. Active band, and I just, you know, I loved their sound and their just like their how melodic they were, and Marty's vocal style and his writing was so good, and I thought they just had a great sound. I think Ashford was such a great EP, and those songs were so good, and I was featured on that album on a for guest vocals on Letty Hepstock. And that was a really fun experience, just to kind of get into vocals with them. But I've always loved the song Ashford, the title track off that album. There's just something about it, and I know what that song means to Marty. So just, I would say Ashford is probably up there, one of my favorite tunes, especially, and even to play now that I'm in the band. I do love playing that song, and I hope I do. You know, Steve Jowsey, I hope he, you know, appreciates that. I love playing his parts as a drummer, and yeah, and he did such a good job writing his parts for that album. So yeah, Ashford as an EP, but Ashford the tune is also really great.
Question: did you go to Chris Hanna's Illegal Combatant studio to record your guest vocals, or did you do it at Private Ear? Where'd you do that?
I did that at, oh man, I might be butchering the name. It wasn't Hannah's place, but I believe it was called Broken Ground Productions.
Oh, Broken Ground, yeah.
Yeah, yep. Yeah.
I'm seeing that on the credits here on the Bandcamp page.
Okay, good. I got that right. Where I did. That's where I did the my vocals there. I think most of the vocals were done there, or at least parts of the guest vocals were done there, because Keith from Danger Cat was on it, myself. Chris from the Rippers was on there. So there's a few guest vocal spots on that album, which is really cool.
Very cool. Okay, well, let's talk about some new stuff. Clipwing has just been in the studio, and when I was looking up some information about your release, I was delighted to see that it was recorded by friend and past guest of my other podcast, Paul Yee, who runs Stereo Bus Studios. Tell me a little bit about what stands out to you about working with Paul, going to Stereo Bus. Tell me about the story of this new record that Clipwing has just done, because I'm just like super delighted that you did it with Paul at Stereo Bus.
Yeah, Paul is just a great guy. He's so knowledgeable. He's skilled. He's got a lot to offer when it comes to, you know, input for tunes, or would it be like, you know, his incredible studio itself, just in general, the equipment. And he was, you know, he was really good at suggestions for, you know, amps or guitars or anything like this, you know, try this, try that, try this. And he was just so accommodating. He was like, yeah, use whatever you want, like plug that in, whatever. Like, I feel like he trusted us and he knew Kyle, who engineered the album for us, which was super cool. So, you know, I think we all felt really felt comfortable like right away, which was great. So, so we did 11 songs there, and we were able to do drums, bass, most of the guitars even, which we were just shocked at, because, you know, 11 songs, we weren't sure exactly. We booked the time for bass and drums. Like, that's what we booked. Like, let's get bass and drums done there and we'll move on.
Oh, interesting.
And all of a sudden, like 2 days in, we were like, oh, we're done. So should we just do guitars then? so we just banged it out. We're just like, hey, let's just keep moving. Like, let's not even like think about it. Let's just plug in some guitars, get some tones, and let's just keep going. So the experience at Stereo Bus was just awesome, and the studio was just a beautiful space. The atmosphere and just the vibe in there was so nice. And yeah, I haven't been in a studio like that in a long time, and I love the atmospheres, and I love the atmosphere in studios like that. When it comes to like professional studios, there's just something about disconnecting from the outside and focusing in on the music that you're creating and focusing in on your bandmates and your friends that are around and really letting those creative juices flow. Cause there's, yeah, playing music and actually, you know, getting these ideas down and actually creating things, which is like pretty cool. Like, you know, there's so many different ways you can be creative, but in this specific situation where you're creating music together and trying different things and writing different drum parts or trying weird guitar lines just to see, and it's something fits, you're like, that came out of nowhere and it sounds awesome. So
that's the magic stuff.
Yeah, exactly. There's like some fairy dust in that studio. And so just being able to completely submerse ourselves in that studio for 4 days was really special. So that we got a lot of work done, and it was super successful. And I think we were all very, very pleased with what came out afterwards, after those 4 days. And so we have a little more work to do, but the amount of work we got done in the 4 days was insane.
How long has this writing process been going on for the band for this record?
So there was a few songs written and that were recorded with their previous drummer. They did like four or five tracks just as like random demos. They didn't release them. It was just for like, hey, we have these ideas, let's record them. But other than that, the other songs, the other six, seven tracks that we wrote between, you know, me joining the band and now, we all wrote those together. So we changed some of those other songs that were written before. We, you know, different, just the way that song was structured or different drum lines or different vocal parts, they're kind of modified a little bit and worked on. But yeah, so I would say like six or seven of the songs that we recorded were all done like as the new unit, the four of us.
Nice. You mentioned a name, Kyle. Who's Kyle?
So Kyle Monkman. He I can't remember. I don't think he's done Unscripted Moments, but he's probably been mentioned
he
on
helped.
The podcast.
With, he helped me out once. He sent me some covers that we'll talk about later on, and he was a very helpful guy. So yeah, Kyle Monkman, nice.
Yeah, so he's been a buddy of mine since 2013, 2012, and he's been absolutely killing it in the recording scene here and helping out numerous bands of all different types of genres, and he's been getting better and better and better with every recording he does. And so we brought him on, and he was the first guy we thought of. Let's like, let's get Kyle, he's gonna do a great job. So, and he's a buddy of ours, might as well work with him and feel comfortable, and he was happy to help us out. So yeah, Kyle Monkman.
Is he an in-house engineer at Stereo Bus, or does he kind of float around?
he floats around, but I think you know some studios, you can rent the space and you can bring in your own engineer, let's say, you know, for example Kyle, but you know, or you know, let's say if you went to Private Ear or to Stereo Bus, you can be like, hey Paul, like, well, and you hire, you like, you book the studio and you book Paul, or you book Private Ear and you book John, right. So with Stereo Bus, we're like, we love the space, but we're gonna bring Kyle in, and Paul's like, yeah, no problem. Sweet. It's all good. And Paul just kind of popped his head in every once in a while and listened to the tunes. He's like, man, this sounds awesome. And then he would like leave and do his own thing. He was working on other recordings, so it's great.
Man, that's great. Because if you run a studio, I mean, you're probably always trying to sneak in random time. You probably got a mastering job going on. You probably got a mix job going on. So like not being behind the board the whole entire time, or like, you know, doing engineering work. I mean, there's so many other things that go on behind the scenes of making music that I'm sure Paul had no trouble filling his time, did he?
Yeah, no, I would leave to take a little bit of a break, grab a cup of coffee or a little bit of something to eat. And I would see Paul in another studio, like working on guitar work or, you know, listening to other recordings. And so, you know, he's a busy guy.
Nice. What is the plan for Clipwing, for the record, for shows? What are you all excited about for the next several months?
I think once we get back to kind of finishing up the guitars and vocals, any sort of extra things like, you know, percussion and backup vocals and whatever else we want to like kind of sprinkle on top. Once we all have that done, you know, it could be, I you know, don't quote me on this, but like, I know it could be out next year. It could be out, once everything's kind of done and then, you know, mixed, mastered, pressed and all that stuff. So, it's a bit of a process. So, you know, it could be out sometime next year. Who knows? Like something could happen and might be out earlier. So I think just finishing up the last bits and pieces of it. And then, you know, it'd be great to have like some sort of like album release party or something like that somewhere in the city, which would be super fun. And maybe play a few shows outside of Winnipeg. Who knows? Right. So we're all in a spot. At least.
Yeah.
I think playing a few shows maybe outside of Winnipeg will be super fun, and you know, we're all kind of on the same page about that kind of stuff. So I think taking some time to connect with some friends we haven't seen in a while and play some shows and just do the stuff that we love doing. I think that'll be a great time.
Well, as you know, I used to live in Saskatoon, and I used to love going to see shows at Amigos in Saskatoon. So if y'all are getting out of the province a little bit and get over to Saskatchewan, you got to try and hit up Amigos for a show, because they also have good food. So you can eat some good food at their restaurant, and then you can rock out at night. It's a great place.
That sounds fantastic.
All right, so Dylan, let's change gears a little bit. I want to hear about your other band, where you do something totally different as the lead singer in the band Storyteller. Tell me about the origin of this project, because I'm looking at your releases here on Bandcamp. You got 4 releases out, so this is a busy band as well, and I want to know what the story behind this band is.
Oh, man. So my buddy Garrett... So in the band, it's Garrett on guitar, my buddy Zach on guitar, my other buddy Dunn on drums, Kyle's on bass, and I'm vocals. And, you know, a couple of guys do backup vocals on there as well. I feel like some of the songs have been written for a long time, but it's just the lineup that hasn't been, that wasn't in place. So Garrett has always been just a prolific writer. Like, he writes so much music. He's an incredible guitar player. He's got a nice setup at home where he can just, you know, write. And he, you know, had this library of instrumentals that him and Dunn worked on. And a while ago, I heard some of these songs, and I wasn't in like a spot where I could like commit to being a lead singer, even though I was in a band years ago called Distances. I was a lead singer and I really enjoyed it. But when Garrett was throwing out these ideas. I was like, I don't know. And some of the songs were, at the time, they felt a little kind of, they felt a little like intense and kind of hectic and just, I don't know. It's almost like I was like trying to listen to these songs and I couldn't, I was like, where do I fit a melody in this? Like, this is kind of crazy. But time went on and I think we just like, we had these tunes and me and Kyle got together and we tried to write a song, write lyrics to one of the instrumentals that Garrett had. This was, you know, 2000 and I don't know. I can't remember when one of the song, Sinking Feeling, I can't remember when that one was released.
Let me look at the old release date here. I think it might. I think it might.
I'm sure it does. 2022?
May 2022, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so somewhere around there, like early 2022, we started to kind of get started on writing some lyrics. And yeah, so around that time, we got together and these songs all of a sudden just started to come together. And we just had... We had such a good time together writing some of these tunes and me and Kyle just gelled so well when it came to here's a lyric idea and then writing melodies came together and it's happened for more than just that song when it comes to melodies. I mean, me and Kyle would just be there and we'd be writing together and all of a sudden, like, you know, a verse and a chorus would be done. We're like, okay, this sounds really cool. And we'd be like really excited about it. And we just like, try and keep going. So, you know, I do really enjoy working with Kyle when it comes to storyteller stuff and writing lyrics and melodies. So I think once we kind of got that song ready and then, you know, Garrett had like another instrumental and we're like, hey, let's try and write to this. And so we did another one. And then, for the last time, that song, Garrett wrote that one, wrote the lyrics for that one too. And me and him got together and we just wrote and we just kind of worked on the melodies, but he had all the words done. So that one was really fun to work with Garrett when it came to melodies and lyrics as well. So it's been a really, really fun collaborative project as storyteller. And it's been fun using... what's the right word? Kind of like using like that creative side of me when it comes to writing lyrics. Cause I'm so mm-hmm. used to just like, you know, drums and stuff like that. So being in this band and writing and like sitting down and putting an instrumental on and having and writing down ideas, that's been really fun. And the guys have been super supportive of me and they've been, you know, really open and helping me out with lyrics, or they've been like, hey, like, this is really good. This is like, maybe try this word instead, like just stuff like that. But it's been such a great group of guys to work with. And man, they're just all so talented at what they do. And so the music that we create is really special. And I really, really like it. It's kind of, it's a little more aggressive than Clipwing, but it's still in that kind of punk rock kind of stuff. Yeah. But it that punk rock kind of vein that avenue there. So it's been fun being a vocalist as well, because I do enjoy singing in that style of music. Mm-hmm. So it's been fun, and I really it's nice when the guys have been, you know, asked me to join the band, and you know, when we all kind of got together and they like my vocal style, and it seems to fit really well. And like I said, we all work really well together as a unit in that band, so it's been great.
Are you a backseat drummer? Are you a backseat driver with the drums in the band that you don't play drums in?
Dunn is just like, he's one of the best drummers I've ever been that I've ever seen. And he's just one of the best just drummers, like creatively. Like, he's so good at, you know, writing certain lines and for certain parts, and his feel and his, he went to Brandon for school for music and Sweet. For drums. So he's just like, he's unbelievable. Like, I, you know, just the one, like when he warms up at practice and he'll play something random, I'm just like, what? I'm like, okay, whatever. Like, yeah. It's wild.
I was asking that question completely humorously because I already knew the answer, but I just thought the question was funny. Are you a backseat driver when it comes to drums that you are not playing?
I make sure I tell, like, done, play it like this. All right. Like, just you gotta, don't you do that. Written down. Give me the sticks.
Yeah, yeah, you've got it written down. You've got it all tabbed out for him, and he's got like the sheet music that you've handwritten for him up there on the music stand. So, Dylan, what's your process like for coming up with melodies? Like some people, I was talking to somebody the other day here in Buffalo, and they're like, I go on long bike rides and I come up with guitar riffs in my head and I just hum it to myself over and over while I'm riding my bike. What's your process like for coming up with melodies for music?
I will usually put on... I'll put on the instrumentals that I would get from the guys, and I wouldn't even sing in words. I would just like either hum, or I would just sing a line or two over and over until I find something that's kind of nice. And then once that happens, I'll usually record on my phone. Yeah. At least I don't forget that idea. And so that's how I'll usually do. I'll put the instrumental on like nice and loud, and I'll just like kind of sit in it for a bit, and then I will just hum along and try and think of a few words or a line or two. And then I'll just kind of hum and try and sing the line over and over again until I find something that's kind of fitting that I like. And then I'll record that on my phone, like as a voice note. And then I sometimes will move on to the chorus, and I'll try and, it's almost like how the Beatles did it. It's like they'll write this incredible verse, and then they'll write something better, and then that will be like the verse, or like that will be the chorus now, and then they'll write something even better, and that'll become the bridge into like the best thing they write for that one song will be like the chorus and this like this incredible melody. So I write one thing, and then I'll carry on to the next part and try and write something even better, especially if it's a chorus, because you want it to stand out, right?
Yeah. So, man, I'm telling you what, the Voice Memos iPhone app is one of the greatest gifts for musicians ever, I would imagine, yeah. Because if you scroll through a musician's Voice Memos app, I mean, it is miles and miles of files. Of just
the naming system is hilarious, because it's like, yeah, guitar number one, guitar riff number one, A, evening, September 10th. It's like, what? Like, what is this?
Yeah. Or you're like standing on the corner of like, or it like tracks the location. So you could be like on the corner of Portage and Maine. You know what I mean? And you like hum something into your phone, and then it's like Portage and Maine, December 16th, 2023, you know?
And you're like, what was that day? And you listen to it, you're like, oh yeah.
Like I'm a genius.
It's almost like this time capsule and like this like little audio recording.
What's the plans for Storyteller for the future?
We have a bunch, like besides those four tunes that we have released, I think we have like five or six more kind of done, or at least close to being done. So we'd love to start recording maybe a full length, like an LP of some kind, and just get all these ideas out. And we have some show dates possibly coming in the fall. So like more to come on that, but, you know, there's a possible show. Yeah. In the fall. But that's the only one we have right now, but that honestly gives us time to just focus on writing more tunes, honestly. So maybe something in the fall as far as a show goes, but other than that, just writing.
Wonderful. Well, Dylan, we are going to change gears once again. And for any listeners out there, as you heard me say earlier, I also host a podcast about the Winnipeg band Propagandy. And Dylan was on that podcast for the episode that we made on the song called Funeral Procession. And was it 2021? It must have been, because it was like episode 50 something. So it had to have been 2021 when I think I had you on the podcast that one time.
Yeah.
I can't remember. But anyway, had you on the podcast. And then hilariously, in October of 2021, when I came to Winnipeg, you picked me up at the airport, which was super awesome.
Dude, I was so pumped. I was like, you don't have a ride yet? Oh, I'm picking you up.
That was, I remember to this day, and we went out to lunch and we drove around and hung out, and you were basically like my first like glimpse into Winnipeg, you know, just seeing you at the airport and getting like picked up. It was awesome. And then like going out and having lunch and actually getting to hang out for real. That was a time when we had to like use the cards to like go into restaurants and stuff. Like it was a crazy time.
Yeah.
But what a great weekend that was for me. My Thanksgiving 2021 weekend in Winnipeg, seeing Propaganda shows and getting to meet you. But there is a blank gap in the episode that you and I made, because we did not talk about what is maybe the world's best Propaganda cover band, The Isolation Booth, on really that much on that episode. So now what I want to do is I want to chat with you about the tunes that you did, what you remember about that process. But I mostly want to talk about Call Before You Dig. So tell me, just give the listeners out there who may not have seen these, just kind of a basic overview of what this project was.
Oh man. Yeah. So me, my buddy Marty and Kyle Monkman,
Kyle is everywhere, man. Kyle is on every project, I think.
Yeah. He's a good dude, man. And he's a great, musician. He's a great friend. He's a great engineer and a dude that goes around and helps people record music. Like he's a triple threat or quadruple threat. You know, he's also a handsome dude. So that's the fourth thing. We had this idea. Oh man, I don't even like remember how this happened, but we were talking about, you know, trying to record some tunes and together, but apart, and see if we can like release them. And we might have seen other people do it from home as well, because there was a ton of those cover bands. Yeah, and it was such a fun thing to do. And we had the equipment and we had the technology to do it. So me, Kyle, and Marty were like, okay, let's try and like learn some songs, and maybe we'll get like guest spots from people that we know, and that would be really fun to add like a little extra layer to this thing, where it's like the three of us, but then, you know, every couple weeks we'll release a song, and you know, we'll have a special guest on. So which I think was a very similar kind of theme with those cover bands that were online and stuff for during the pandemic and whatnot. So
yeah, there's like Mikey and his uke and bands like that. Yeah, exactly. Cool projects. I love it.
Yeah. So the first few that we did, I think, were Propaganda tunes. And so Kyle and Marty, you know, brought over a bunch of equipment, you know, in secret, of course, because they had to. And they brought over a bunch of mics and recording gear. And I was able to use my MacBook and use some inputs from Kyle and actually like, you know, put on the song in my headphones and like hit record, and all the mics were set up properly where we would actually get, you know, the recording, like a proper recording of my drums in my basement.
Yeah.
And so that was really fun. So like we were able to set that up, and then, you know, once Kyle set that up, it was kind of, we were off to the races, because Marty had equipment at home and so did Kyle. And then thanks to the help from Kyle and Marty, so did I. So we just kind of threw out ideas of what songs we wanted to do. And, you know, one of our favorite bands, if not our favorite band, is Propaganda. So we were thinking of a couple Propaganda songs that we wanted to do. So we each did our thing and we videotaped ourselves. And I think I guess I would have had to record the audio and record the video, and then I would send Dropbox links to Kyle and Marty, and then Marty, with his background in filmmaking and the video and audio, he was able to take the video and cut it, and then Kyle would mix the audio, and then those two, you know, I was kind of like just like along for the ride kind of thing, and all I'd have to do is play. But those guys were mixing the audio, and then Marty was cutting the video, and so they put in a ton of extra work with that stuff when they're, you know, they did an incredible job at it. But that's how that kind of happened. And then so we had, I don't know if anyone knows this, but we do have Potemkin City Limits done as well, but that we never released.
Come on, you're killing me.
I know. I know. And you're gonna have to help me out with the name, Jen. She does all the like the prop acoustic
Jen
covers.
Jen Fiorentino.
She does Potemkin City Limits.
Are you kidding me? You are killing me here. Release the video.
I know. I think Marty has it somewhere, but we just never released it. But we did Potemkin, which was super cool.
Oh God. Oh, I'm having a situation, my friend, right now. I'm like very upset about this, but very excited about the potential of an unreleased Jen Fiorentino Isolation Booth cover of Potemkin City Limits. Come on, do it.
Yeah. So I'll have to talk to Marty. Marty's in Calgary right now, and he's recording a television show right now. But I think he's got the recording.
Release the video.
I think we have the audio. Yeah, for sure.
Even if it's only the audio, you got to put that thing out. I don't even care. I haven't
heard it in a while, but I remember when I did hear it, I'm like, oh my God, this is sick.
You realize that I'm not going to rest until this is released in some format. I don't care if it's audio or video or both, but this will come out. It has to.
I'll even reach out to Kyle. Maybe he has a link to it or something like that. I can send it to you.
You got to tell Kyle that this is going to be a problem.
I'm gonna do this live on the camera right here. I'm gonna text Kyle.
You gotta tell him I said hi first, okay. And then you have to say that I'm very upset about this unreleased Potemkin City Limits Jen Fiorentino cover. Because here's the thing: we're talking about it on a podcast right now, and people are gonna hear it, and people are gonna be upset, and I'm gonna be the leader of that group of angry people being upset. So this is now officially, I'm bringing this into the world.
So I just text him, hey Kyle, Greg says hello. He wants to hear the Isolation Booth Potemkin City Limits we did with Jen.
Yeah.
Do you have it?
Yes. Okay. Well, you can like update me later on that.
Of course.
But this project is awesome, man, because you all have the Marcia and Jen from Mobina Galore, who mm-hmm. did Alexis on Fire, the duet. This could be anywhere in the world. Totally rocking. Mind-blowingly good. So good. Like I thought I loved the Propaganda covers, but then I heard this Alexis on Fire one and I was like, man, this is fabulous. Like they did an amazing job. You all did an incredible job on that project as well. So like, I love it. I'm really glad that you all have these little collection of videos. It's just awesome to look back at this time and see these really cool projects that we just like compulsively made because we just needed something to do, you know?
Yeah. Like again, like when it comes, like going back to like, being, you know, using those creative juices and those creative outlets, even if like they weren't songs that we wrote, but like being creative in the sense of how do we make this happen? You record this, I'll mix this, and then we can ask them, and then we'll all come together in this like music community of our friends that we you know were playing with before, but we were like, I don't know if we're ever going to be able to play again together because we don't know what's happening in the world. So let's still play music together and share these things together and share them with people who are our friends or whoever else sees them, but who are stuck at home. They're like, oh man, like you look, our friends are doing some fun stuff and they can watch it at home and enjoy it. So I think that was really important. And it was a ton of fun.
All right. So Dylan, let's talk about Call Before You Dig. When I listened to this record, Victory Lap, for the hundreds of times that I've listened to it at this point, Call Before You Dig, I always have this niggling feeling in my mind. I'm like, is this like one of the three best songs on the album? Like, I love this song.
Oh, yeah. It's up there.
And it's so good. And it's like not talked about anymore. It feels forgotten at this point. But for me, like, I stood at the corner of Palmerston and Ruby Street on my visit mm-hmm. to Winnipeg. And I was like, dude, I'm there. Like now the song not only has like an auditory connection for me, but it has a physical connection for me as well, because I was in the spot where the song's setting takes place. So you as a Winnipegger, you know, I'm just curious about your connection with this song, what you like about the song, anything that jumps out at you.
Yeah, I it's probably a top three on that album for sure. I love the intro of that song and how like those uh the the chugs with the drums and the guitars, like, just like, are synced up so well. And I don't know, there's something about, I did a little bit of reading about that song when it first came out, because that's what I do when new Propaganda albums come out. I like have a computer with me and like the lyrics open. But going back to the music, like that song is, I don't know, man, like that it's up there for one of my favorites on that record. And just the overall, just the all encompassing, like, specific parts of that song, when it comes, like, the intro is so tasty and it just sounds so fat, and mm-hmm. and how they put that together, and the shots in the at the start of the verse at Palmerston and Ruby Street, oh. Bad Owl, like that kind of thing, like,
yes,
I don't know, it's they have this way of making parts sound fresh, you know. It's nothing crazy, it's nothing groundbreaking, but there's just something like, man, they put those parts in like the perfect spots.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's unreal.
Yeah, the and just the drums too, like, if I'm watching you play that, like, you are all over the kit on this thing. Like, this is like a melodic punk song that almost ties in like their mid-90s sound from like Less Talk More Rock, but without going through all of the heavier years where they experimented with so many different styles and you know, just like the ways that their sound has progressed, without all the heavier years and the melodic years from the 90s mixed with like the 2010 stuff of like supporting cast and failed states, you don't get to this sound. You don't become like super melodic, then super heavy, then super melodic, but heavy again, unless you go through all the eras of Propaganda. Like, the way that Jordan, the riffs speak together on this tune are very powerful. And I see all eras of this band coming to like a manifestation in this particular song, you know?
Yeah. I guess, yeah, think about the start of the song where there's a lot of like tom work at the start. And
yeah,
I mean, Jord is just, it's hard to describe like how Jord plays those drums. It's unlike anyone else. So he puts those specific parts in those songs where he, like, you know, syncs up with you know, the guitar palm mute parts or just like riffs, and he'll put drums perfectly over those parts and they completely complement each other. There's just something about his drumming that is, you know, especially thinking about that fat sound, a lot of those drummers, like, it's all those drummers are incredible.
But, yeah,
and I've listened to most of those fat bands from that era, and, you know, with the like those fast beats with like this fast snare rolls, and, you know, and like, you know, the kind of the drum fills that you hear a lot of those bands do, but you put on a Propaganda record and the drumming is it's unmatched.
It feels totally different than all those other bands.
It's completely different.
And
completely,
like, I can put on, if I'm my drum kid, I can put on, you know, No Effects, So Long, Thanks for All the Shoes, and I can play along to it. And it's a very straightforward, very fast, very, you know, driving beat. But then I put on like Today's Empire's Tomorrow's Ashes, which is technically kind of like the same like speed as far as drumming goes, but I can't lock in on it. There's something that Jord does that's a little different where I can't lock in on the beat, but I can perfectly lock in with Eric Sandin. It's really confusing to me and I've never figured it out.
Yeah, I've played along to Today's Empire's a couple times, tried to. I've put it on and, like, you know, I know the songs well enough where I can kind of play along with it, but there's certain parts of those tunes where I'm like, man, like, I'm trying to figure out like the accents or the timing of some of Jord's like hits and then to the toms and then back to the snare and cymbals. It's like, man, like, I have to like rewind a few times to try and like listen to it. Like, how does he even hit that?
Yeah,
it's incredible. Yeah.
So how do you feel about like the fact that you can like just be like riding your bike around Winnipeg and it's like, oh, look, there's Palmerston and Ruby Street. Do you like, you know, do you make those connections whenever songs are about the place that you live? Like, does that click with you like on any regular basis living there?
I would say so, especially even like, you know, Propaganda lyrics, if they've ever come up, you know, some of their older tunes, like Fine Day.
Yeah,
talking about River Heights.
Yep.
You know, yeah,
Murals on West Broadway.
Call Before You Dig. Murals on West Broadway, like some of those tunes and some of those songs, you're like, yeah. So you kind of picture where they are, and you can kind of, you know, especially when Call Before You Dig came out, and looking that up on Google Maps, where I'm like, oh yeah, where? Because I knew where Palmerston was, but I was like, I didn't know. I was trying to see like where it intersected with Ruby, and so I'm like, oh wow, that's like that's not far. That's not that far. Like that's just like in the middle of. I guess that would that be West Broadway as well, or
no? It's like right by that community center.
Well, it's like Wolseley. It's like the Wolseley area.
Yeah, it's Wolseley. There's like that there's that community center right there, and it's basically like kind of like a U, like mm-hmm. the road kind of like bends down, and then it's just kind of like a sweeping bend almost where two roads intersect, but it's not like a super hard corner. It's kind of like you just kind of swoop through there.
Yeah.
And it was just such an interesting little intersection because the roads aren't like at a right angle. You just kind of sweep from one end to the other.
That's right. Now that you say that, it's just like a little bend of a turn. It's like now you're on a new street. You're like, don't have to, like, I think there's a stop sign, but it's like, it's not like a stop and like, hey, now this way. It's like, oh, now I'm on a new street. So it's just like,
exactly.
It's a weird setup.
And it just changes names. It's super funny. Yeah. Well, cool. Well, Dylan, what a delight to chat about you know, the new Clipwing record. Very, very pumped for all of you. You and the guys are I'm looking forward to hearing that record. Especially, you know, with the addition of you in like the band and like for the full length record. That's really great because there is no Clipwing full length. And so this is a very, very exciting release. I'm sure that all of you are just completely delighted this is happening.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. We're the four of us, you know, I've said before, like it's been so special being part of the band for the last 4 years, but I can only imagine how excited the three others are because they've been in the band since the beginning. Right. So to actually have all these songs ready to go for their first LP, it must feel so cool. So I love those guys, and they've been done so much. They've gone through a lot as a unit. So it feels good to be with them, and it feels really good as the four of us. And we're close buddies, and we talk often. And so it definitely feels special. So I'm looking forward to get these songs out.
Well, that's great. And then we got Storyteller. I'm glad that you all are doing stuff. This has also been like 45 minutes of like Kyle Monkman worship. So this is, I just love that. And so, well, Dylan James, thank you for coming on this special edition of Witch Police Radio, a little bit meets Unscripted Moments, a podcast about propaganda. If anybody out there hasn't heard those Isolation Booth covers from a couple years back, you can find them on YouTube at the username @bombcherry. Definitely go check those out, man. That Alexis on Fire cover is, whew, because you don't need to, I don't need to tell you that the propaganda covers are amazing, but I want people to go and check out that Alexis on Fire cover as well, because it rules. Dylan, thank you so much for being here and hanging out with me, man. It really is a pleasure to catch up and chat with all the projects you got going. It means a lot.
Yeah, thanks, Greg. Good to see you, buddy.